Hi, and welcome to Heart to Heart, a Kingdom Hearts podcast, where I, Austin, explain the Kingdom Hearts series to my friends.
Hi, I'm Cronus. Happy to be here this week and finally getting over the icky sicky that's going around. So if you've been sick, stay indoors, take vitamin C, drink water.
All good advice.
Hi, I'm Darylise, and I'd like to wish Austin a happy birthday today.
Thank you.
And I'm Riley. Hi. Yeah.
All right. So this is going to be, instead of asking if you guys remember what happened last week, because, you know, Recoded kind of, we had to change stuff up for Recoded. Have any of you guys had a chance to listen to that episode yet?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, it's not super important, especially leading into this game.
It's not super important.
I was going to cut that out, but all right. It's not super important, especially leading straight into this game. But there are a few points that I should mention, just so that you guys are aware. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the game, Mickey writes the letter to Sora that they receive at the very end of Kingdom Hearts 2. If you recall, at the very end of Kingdom Hearts 2, Sora is sitting at the Pau Puu tree, and then Riku comes up, and they're talking for a minute, and then Kairi runs up, and she has a bottle in her hand, and it has a rolled-up letter with King Mickey's seal. Mickey writes that letter, and it's basically saying, hey, there's other people that are hurting that are connected to you in ways you don't understand, and ways I don't fully understand, but I think we need to try and help them. Obviously, this is referring to people like Roxas, and Terra, and Ventus, and Aqua. And then in one of the secret movies, Yen Sid is talking to Mickey, and they're talking about how, well, fuck, we've killed Xehanort's Nobody, we've killed Xehanort's Heartless, and if that happens, then the person is recompleted. Mm. So OG Xehanort will be coming back, and people need to prepare. So he asks Mickey to summon Riku and Sora to come and take the Mark of Mastery exam. In Birth by Sleep, we saw Aqua and Terra try and take a Mark of Mastery exam, but theirs was more traditional. They're going to talk about it a little bit in here, but Sora's and Riku's is much more intense because they kind of know that they are going to be facing some powerful things, and so truly their Mark of Mastery is attaining a certain skill. And that's the important things from Recoded leading into this game. But today we're going to start Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, also known as Kingdom Hearts 3D. It originally released in 2012 or 2013 for the Nintendo 3DS.
Also called what?
It's Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance or Kingdom Hearts 3D.
Is it 3D because Dream Drop Distance? There are 3Ds?
Yes, and it was on the 3DS. So it was actually a 3D game.
And never mind, that was going to be too inappropriate and a stretch. I like it. Okay, good.
I don't know what you're going to say, and I'm okay with not knowing.
I don't want to know.
It was something about getting the that. D. Like video games and chill, getting the D, that kind of thing. It's not. Nice, though. It's clever. I like it.
Yeah.
I love innuendos.
As you.
Not with the cheap dip.
Ew. It was going to drip on my desk. Shut up.
So I just sent you guys the opening cinematic for Dream Drop Distance.
Opening cinematic. Scandalous.
Wow, that was pretty.
Fabulous.
Okay, so I have an opinion.
Oh, I also have opinions.
Please share.
Fantasia Mickey would absolutely wreck everybody's shit. That's one.
Yes.
Why the fuck isn't he in here? Why do we get dipshit broke ass, lying ass, ditching ass dad, Mickey.
Ditching ass dad, Mickey. That's the fucking title, bro.
I also have a Mickey opinion. So throughout this thing, I've noticed, you know, Mickey down in the bottom, like, choreographing, orchestrating, whatever the heck. Mickey is basically Dumbledore. Useless, throwing kids into danger with a holier-than-thou righteous attitude, being like, you're the chosen ones, fight
oh
the big
Oh my god, man. Yes.
When really he's just an old man that needs to sit his butt down and be uninvolved. No opinion.
I literally just watched the Harry Potter series and Dumbledore. Worst fucking character. I hate him.
Worst character. And he killed his sister. We should say
fucking
it.
Fucking bullshit.
It's true. So to describe it, it opens with the silhouette of Fantasia Mickey coming in and starting to conduct, like he's conducting an orchestra. And we see pages, presumably of Jiminy's journal, flying all around, and Donald and Goofy pop out of some, and Sora pops out of another. Eventually they fall into a journal, and at first it's all a pop-up book, and it's really cute, and then after Sora lands in it, then it becomes real, and it very quickly runs through, basically, the time in Kingdom Hearts 1 up until Sora gets tossed away and ends up in Traverse Town. But instead of Traverse Town, he flies out of this book, lands in another, and is basically falling down through Castle Oblivion, and we see Kairi, and then she flashes into Naminé up above him, and then he lands, but he lands in the pod that he slept in, and as he lands in, Roxas gets pushed out of it, and we see Roxas and Shion, and they have an emotional standoff and a flashback back to eating sea salt ice cream on the clock tower. After the flashback, though, Shion explodes into crystals, similar to her death scene, and then there's an angry Axel and an angry Roxas facing off, like at the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 2. And then suddenly, it swaps to Sora and Riku fighting Xemnas at the end of Kingdom Hearts 2. And as soon as that is over, it cuts to something we've never seen before, with Sora and Riku in the Keyblade graveyard, and old man Xehanort, Master Xehanort, is there. Mickey shows up and defends them from an attack, and then the three of them chase after Master Xehanort, and they also summon the help of some other heroes that need saved. Terra, Ventus, Aqua, and Roxas. And they all raise their Keyblades, and light forms up and forms the Kingdom Hearts heart, and the title, Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, appears on screen. All of this is happening with the orchestral version of Simple and Clean in the background.
I was going to ask you what song that was. I freaking knew it, and like I knew it in my heart of hearts, unintended. And I'm kind of low-key proud of that because, you know, memory and recognition kind of go hand in hand, and I'm notoriously bad at that. So, that song's a bop. The jury's in.
I don't recall what the orchestral version's called, but you can always go back to the music episode where we discussed that.
Yeah, I really liked that.
But then, after the intro cinematic, we are seeing from a character's point of view. We're not sure exactly who it is right this second, but we're in a familiar lab. It's clearly the laboratory from the castle in Radiant Garden. The man examines the view before him, where he sees two fading bodies lying on the floor. One, a man with long hair, and the other, a silver-haired youth, and darkness rises off of both of them like smoke. It's clear that this is Evan and Ienzo, the two that will go on to become Vexen and Zexion. Hey, is this how you wanted it? And the man turns and sees another person in the room walking towards him. It's Brag, the man who will go on to become Zigbar. Xehanort, you want to fill me in? The person that we're seeing the perspective of, clearly we now know it is Apprentice Xehanort. So Xehanort, inside of Terra's body, having lost his memories and working under Ansem the Wise. I am. And he lifts his arm and summons the no-name Keyblade. Hey, do you remember now? Or, wait, did you never lose your memory? The man leaps forward and plunges the Keyblade into Brig's chest. That's not my name. I'm not Xehanort. And Brig's eyes widen with shock as he falls to the floor, exhaling loudly as a heart surges out from his chest. My name is Ansem. And so this is something that we know we've known has happened, but we've never seen. When apprentice Xehanort basically killed all of the other apprentices and turned them into both a heartless and a nobody, and their nobodies all went on to form Organization 13.
Ooh.
We cut from this to a quaint island, a very familiar island to us. In the middle of a vast ocean, and two boys, Sora and Riku, stare out at the sea. Notably, they're in their Kingdom Hearts 1 outfits. But how far could a raft take us? Who knows? If we have to, we'll think of something else. And some time passes, and we see these two sailing on that raft the way they planned to at the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 1. But the waters are getting dark. Riku, a storm's coming. Sora kneels and looks into the water. I know, the waves are getting steep. Furl the sail. Right. Just then, though, something large jets out of the water and rips the mast clean off the raft. Sora looks around and finds Riku is in the water holding onto the mast for dear life. Riku! I'm fine. As the waters start to churn, lightning flashes, and a figure rises out of the deep waters. What's that? And a gigantic sea witch turns to face Sora. He recognizes Ursula immediately. Oh, he was right. Those wretched guppies are here. Well, it's about time we settled the score. Ursula, but how? Is this the test? Come on, you can work it out later. All right. Ursula notices Riku standing on top of the floating mast. Sorry, dearies, I won't fall for that trick. She slams her tentacle into the water, and Riku uses the chance to jump back aboard the raft. You dare toy with me, you insignificant fools! To the depths with you! And she blows large bubbles at them. They dodge out of the way, and eventually she snatches Sora up in her hand. Riku attacks her, forcing her to release Sora, and the waves get rougher and rougher until both boys are pulled down through the water. They're losing consciousness quickly. But just then a keyhole appears, and their keyblades flash into their hands, almost with a mind of their own, the keyblades, that is. They aim themselves at the keyhole and shoot a beam of light towards it, engulfing everything. Meanwhile, on the surface, we see that figure from Kingdom Hearts 1, that brown cloak that we know is Ansem, Seeker of Darkness, staring down at this through the water, and he says, this world has been connected. We then kind of jump back in time a little bit to see what led to this weirdness. And fair warning, you know, the lore of this series is a little convoluted. This is the game that convolutes it the most, I think.
Oh no.
I've mentioned that there's time travel in Kingdom Hearts before. We're going to see several versions of it in this game, and yeah, we'll get there.
Oh geez, Rick.
We flash back to Yen Sid addressing Sora and Riku in the tower. He summoned them here for a special purpose. Mickey, Donald, and Goofy stand off to the side, but observing.
As a Keyblade Master, Xehanort had a gift like few others. But such great minds are often plagued by a single great question. What is the essence of the human heart that weakens us or empowers us? The answer, he believed, would be found in the Keyblade War. What if the challenges of our past were, in fact, a map to the light and darkness that battles within us all? Xehanort had to know, so he renounced his duties as master and chose the Seeker's life. Since then, in many a guise, he has clashed with protectors of the light, Keyblade wielders like yourself. And mark my words, he will trouble us yet again. We must be ready. which is why you, Sora, and Riku, are to be tested for the mark of a true Keyblade Master. No doubt you fancy yourselves masters already, but it takes years of training. Only a true master can teach you the proper way. Both of you are self-taught Keyblade wielders, an impressive feat. However, the time has come for you to let go of preconceived notions. Forget what you know about the Keyblade, and begin your training again with a clean slate. Basically everybody but Riku has a shocked reaction. But that's a formality, right? I've already proved myself. Me and the King and Riku, we can take on anything, right, Riku? I don't know. And Riku summons his Keyblade. I think that in my heart, darkness still has a hold. Walking that path changed me. I'm not sure if I'm ready to wield a Keyblade. Maybe I do need to be tested.
Riku.
So Sora turns back to Yensid. Then count me in. Put me through the test. Just watch. Me and Riku will pass with flying colors. He puts his hands behind his head in a confident pose, while Mickey, Donald, and Goofy glance at each other like, oh god, he's not taking this seriously. Very well then, Sora and Riku, let your examination begin. And then we cut back to what has happened. So after the Ursula and the keyhole, Sora wakes in a sleepy-looking town and looks around with a great sense of nostalgia. Huh? This is Traverse Town. And he looks down and notices that he is no longer in the clothes he was wearing. I'm about to send you a picture of Sora's outfit. I will note, I don't want to spoil anything, but outfits are very important in this game. They have plot significance more than ever before.
Oh.
Excuse me?
X, gonna give it to you. Gonna give it to you.
Hey, what's with my clothes? Must be more of Master Yensid's magic. He checks out his outfit, the red and black fabric, and the white straps crossing his chest in an X form. And he stands, and then we see over the rooftops a figure jumping at lightning fast speed. But what happened to Riku? And Sora jumps out onto the railing over a ledge and starts calling out, Riku! Hello? Riku? And then somebody says, shut it! Huh? Talk about noise. And Sora sees a boy in blue with headphones on. Sorry, I should have grabbed images ahead of time. I have forgotten to do such.
You've been busy. It's birthday day.
Here we go. He sees this redheaded boy.
Redheaded boy. That's blonde.
Okay, that blonde, whatever.
He looks like a spicy pumpkin.
Sora sees a boy in blue hanging from the roof above him and falls off the ledge. Sora picks himself up off the ground as the boy jumps down in front of him, his bright orange hair contrasting with his large blue headphones. Sora, right? Yeah, but how do you know that? He grabs Sora's hand and opens to look at his palm. Looks like you're not a player. A player? Come on, keep up, in the game. And he shows his own palm to Sora, which has a reading of like a clock in red lit numbers. It says 43 minutes, 9 seconds, and they're slowly counting down. Players get marked with a time limit, and this game, I can't afford to lose. I need my game partner. Okay, I don't know about any game, but can I help? What? Timeout. Do you trust every total stranger you meet? Look, sorry. You're no good. You're not a player, and my pack's with somebody else. Okay, so we can't be partners. So why don't I just help you out as your friend?
Can the boy turns. Say something real quick?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm having like really, really, really big Spy Kids vibes, you know, where he goes into the game to find his sister. And that, like, the girl is like, what are you doing here, noob? And he's like, I've been a spy kid. What is happening? And she's like, beat me in a race or whatever. I love that movie.
Yes.
I did love the Spy Kids as a kid. The boy turns away from Sora. Now we're friends? It's not that easy. I'm not saying it is, but you could make it easier. Yeah, sounds great. Whatever. Cool. Lead the way.
and the boy jumps towards the lamppost and swings around it, much to Sora's surprise. He leaps from this lamppost to a railing, which he basically grinds up. Makes a huge leap off into the air, already losing Sora. But Sora follows after him, trying to keep up. And this is a game mechanic that is in this game, and I'll explain it a bit more in depth later, but it's basically called flow motion, and you can do interesting movement mechanics with the environment around you. So, like, if there's a pole, you can, if you lunge at it, you'll, like, grab onto it and swing around it, and then you can, like, make big jumps, and you can, like, dive off of walls and stuff.
That's neat.
When he eventually catches up to this boy, he says, "Hey, I didn't catch your name." But just then, several dog or cat-like creatures appear around them. I'm sending a picture just now. The boy calls out, "Dream Eaters! That's a weird name. Not me, them! Right, I knew that."
That's Monokuma. I mean, that's not Monokuma, but that looks like Monokuma.
Oh, okay. That looks like a baby. Sweet. Baby love thing.
So the boy leaps back, and a cat-like creature appears next to him.
Oh.
And with the help of this, it attacks the dog-like creature. "Don't let him surround us. Let's split up." "Got it." "Oh, and it's Neku." "Huh?" "Neku Sakuraba. You asked." Sora smiles. "Neku Sakuraba. That's a mouthful." "No, it's really not." I find super hilarious because it reads to me as a joke about how nobody in Kingdom Hearts has last names. So Sora says, "Come on, Neku, let's take them." Together they defeat all of these Dream Eaters. I'll go ahead and say, I don't remember the names of all the Dream Eaters off the top of my head, but we'll see the dog-like one a lot, and that's called a Meowwow.
Okay, I had myself muted because I'm eating, but I really wish you guys had heard the noise I made when you just said Meowwow.
Yeah, it's like a cat and a dog and a unicorn all kind of shoved into one.
I'm naming it Monokuma. It's a Monokuma and then a purloin.
Interestingly, in this game, you do get to capture and name Dream Eaters.
Aww.
Together, they defeat all the Dream Eaters, and Sora takes a closer look at Neku's cat-like companion. It meows and prances around happily. "These things with you, they're Dream Eaters too." "Yeah, if I'm going to survive the game, I'm going to need some extra help. Think you could control them?" "Sure, I guess." And then the scene flashes back to another conversation with Yen Sid. "If we are ever to strike down Xehanort, we need the individuals King Mickey spoke of in his letter. We must lead them out of sorrow and slumber back to our world. To do so, 7 sleeping keyholes must be found and unlocked, and a great power retrieved. As you know, every world is walled off from the next, preventing travel between them. In the past, you could bridge these gaps because the walls were broken, or because you could open special lanes with your keyblade. But now your goals, the sleeping keyholes, are harder to reach. You'll recall that in your first journey, you brought many worlds back from the darkness. But some never returned completely. They still sleep, cut off from all outside channels. Not even the Heartless can enter." He waves his hand and it glows with a white aura. "But these sleeping worlds are said to have their own manner of darkness." And an image of a Meowwow appears on Yen Sid's desk. "They are called Dream Eaters, and there are two kinds. Nightmares, which devour happy dreams, and benevolent spirits, which consume the nightmares." And then a lighter colored version of the Meowwow appears beside it. It paws at the air cutely and rolls over.
Cute.
"The Dream Eaters will guide you, just as the Heartless once guided you, to the keyhole you seek at the heart of each world. In Traverse Town, Sora acquires a spirit called Meow Wow and fights Dream Eaters alongside it.
Same. I would absolutely die for this thing.
So this game has some Pokemon-like mechanics because you don't have a party otherwise.
I knew it!
So you get to create a party of spirits to join you. The first one that you're kind of automatically given is a Meow Wow.
Your starter.
And he's your starter. He's Sora's starter. Riku gets a different starter.
Oh, hell yeah.
And you get to name them. So in my most recent playthrough that I did, I streamed it in the Discord server. I let the people watching decide what I was naming them. And they very quickly decided that I was naming them after people in the Discord server. So my very first Meow Wow was named Cronus.
Oh. How did that come about? Was it just random?
I don't remember exactly who said it, but I was trying to figure out what to name them. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, why do I want to say Cronus? And I was like, you're right, it's Cronus.
You know what? That can go as a compliment or an insult. I'm taking it as both. Thank you.
It's a good thing I don't remember who said it, so you can neither attack them nor thank them.
You know who you are. But I have a Pokemon-related question for my fellow co-hosts.
What up?
When you're playing Pokemon, assuming that everybody has played a Pokemon game, do you keep your starter on your team even when it's not beneficial to?
Yes.
Yes. I would die for my starter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is usually a fire type.
That checks out for what I know of you. Riley?
Yeah.
I also...
I don't think Riley's ever played a Pokemon.
You know what? Fair. I have Pokemon Shield, I think. And that's the first Pokemon game I've like really played. And I chose the Sobble, and my Sobble will not leave my team. I don't give a flying heck.
What? A Sobble?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the starters.
It cries. Oh. It's a baby. Well, technically now he's evolved, but God, what is his name? I named him something. But he is on my team, and I refuse to take him off my team, even when it's beneficial. So I just wanted to make sure we were all in that same boat.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I had not, in fact, played a Pokemon game. Awesome's right. I used to collect the cards as a kid and watch the show, but I never played any. But what I know of myself, yeah, I would also.
That's valid. I almost always go for water type, too, as the starter.
Fire.
Oh, yeah. Like, Charmander, if that's an option, 100%.
But Squirtle
is a little punk.
Excuse me. Have you ever seen the cool Squirtle game? Got those little Dirk Strider anime glasses? I was about
that. You do realize that gang, like, terrorized their town.
What I did as a child, and I turned out okay.
Yeah, okay.
Ew!
Anyway. There's a lot of types of Dream Eaters. I don't think I'm gonna feasibly be able to go over all of them.
Oh, true. I'm gonna pick my favorite.
But I just sent an image to the chat that has more or less every type of Dream Eater. And it has both the spirit and the nightmare versions. Anytime you see a darker colored version, that's a nightmare.
Austin, you know which one's my favorite, right?
Yeah, it's the panda one, which is what...
Yeah.
Which in my game, you were the panda.
Oh my god. I also really like this like ghost thing that's sticking out its tongue in the bottom. Mm-hmm. He looks like a fun guy.
I'm going to snip the one that I am immediately drawn to.
I also have a question.
Mm-hmm.
This fucker, what is he doing? Hold on.
He's in the bath.
Oh, yeah, he's in the bath.
But is he like a penguin?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that the lion one, Cronus?
Yes, the rainbow lion. For any listeners of the pod right now, I'm a cat person. 100%.
I also like this, like...
No, wait, who is he, Austin?
Let me look it up. I don't remember what the...
Lion, which one do you like?
Dream Eater.
I like this, like, bat elephant thing.
Oh, true.
What's happening?
Oh, yeah, like, that's the nightmare elephant version.
Looks good.
There's a... There's a so very... Goodness,
it's an aura lion.
I love that. I also really like just the regular bat, seal? Because you know how I feel about bats.
There is a seal.
There's
you
a
like
frog.
The nightmare panda?
Riley was the bat in my most recent playthrough.
Hmm. Oh.
Bat?
That's definitely a Virgo move. Thank you.
Yeah, that fits the
it's Beast Riku's
squad.
Starter. and I just sent the sigils, so the red, softer edged symbol is for the spirits, and the harder one that almost has bat-like wings is the nightmare symbol.
So I take it the nightmares are bad.
The nightmares are your enemies, the spirits are your party members.
I refuse to believe that any of these are bad.
They're all so sweet and cute looking.
Yeah.
They're babies, all of them.
I'm going to be really real right now, though. I am not about that weird beaver-looking one in the back.
Beaver in the back?
It's got a oh. Shady look about him.
Are you talking about the alternate version of the Meow Wow?
No. The one in the very, very, very back.
Will you clip it?
Yes. The one that's lurking.
Which one?
Who's lurking?
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. He's very similar to a Meow Wow. I forget what he's called, though.
He's got a shady look to him, and I'm not about it. I wouldn't let him near my house.
I think he's baby.
He's not baby. He's lurking in the back.
I think he's baby, and he's really peopled out, but he still wants to be involved.
No.
Okay, I have to tell you guys even more stuff that's going to make you... think these guys are even cuter.
Oh, so, no.
You have to, like, play with them.
Oh!
Where you, like, you have your party in front of you, and you, like, pet them or poke them, depending on what they like, and that gives you relationship points with them, which helps them level up better.
This is my favorite game.
And you can play mini games with them that help them level up, and you get your abilities through them rather than just by leveling up.
Oh
my god, what's the little flower thing on top?
There is just a straight flower one. Yeah.
I love these things.
Yeah.
I got one more too that I would like to be introduced to.
I always call that one that you want to be introduced to, dear Elise, a little gremlin, because I don't know how else to describe him. He's cute.
I
he looks
love
like a
him.
Little fuzzy gremlin.
He's so cute. I cannot finally the image loaded and is like bright. Oh my gosh, you guys have like a Dratini one in here.
There's a cat squirrel.
Cat squirrel.
This is what I really can we dedicate this episode to the Dream Eaters, please? Are these Dream Eaters? Okay.
These are all Dream Eaters.
Okay. Here's what we do. Here's an episode idea. Austin finds a picture, an individual picture of every single one of them, and we rate them all. We just go through every single one. We give our thoughts. We're not going to do what Markiplier did, though, and smash or pass them. Not comfortable with
that.
But
no, they're baby. Actually, yeah, we literally, like, I know some stuff about Dream Eaters that you guys won't know for a very long time. That we cannot do that.
We can't rate them?
Oh, we can rate them. We cannot smash or pass them.
These all look like fun beings, and I would absolutely cuddle with each and every one of them and read them bedtime stories. Okay, this one looks like it would mom me and tell me to eat breakfast.
Oh,
this one.
Oh, the Komori dragon, I believe.
Yeah, it would absolutely tell me to go to bed at a decent time. I'm going to name it Myron.
I agree, Darylise, but I was going to say that one gives me Vanna vibes, Loki.
Yeah.
Oh my god, all my sobbing emojis.
Anyway, back to the game.
No, but can we actually like rate them at some point? I'm down for that.
Yes. We can do that
in our Dream Drop Distance wrap-up episode.
Okay.
We'll go through every single one. However, there's a lot, and I probably will not be going through them as one by one because they show up at different times based on who you're playing as, and you might not even never get one of the spirit versions of one of them throughout the game. But there's all sorts. They're all very cute. So in Traverse Town, Sora acquires a spirit called a Meowwow and fights Dream Eaters alongside it. Catching up to Neku, Neku stands in the square and gazes upward. I brought you Sora. We had a bargain. What's the matter, Neku? And then we see a figure in a black coat approach the ledge up above them, and he stares down. No way! Sora readies his Keyblade as the figure leaps into the air. Hey, that wasn't the deal. You said you wouldn't hurt him. Neku leaps to try and stop the figure. Don't, Neku. They're too dangerous. But just then, Sora is overcome by a sudden and mysterious sleepiness. Very Riley energy in this Sora tonight. What?
Yo.
Why am I so sleepy? His balance falters and he blacks out. And at just that moment, Riku awakes in the same district of Traverse Town that Sora fell asleep in.
Honk Shu.
Let me send you Riku's outfit.
Riku, what's the fit today?
Ooh.
Why are you standing like that? You look really constipated.
Really? That's his battle pose. Early 2000s with the sleeveless vest vibe.
Yeah.
Also,
jeez, and here I was thinking it was like, oh, I could recreate this fit. I dig it.
First of all, he looked like he's in a boy band. But two, I don't understand how his thing is zipped up but unzipped at the bottom. He broke it, obviously. Somebody get him a new shirt. I also don't like how his pants are tucked into his tennis shoes. Riku.
It's the worst.
Do better.
Am I in Traverse Town? And he looks down at his new outfit. My clothes have changed. Then he realizes he's alone. Sora, where are you? He begins to walk around. I remember we fell overboard after Ursula attacked. And then I think we opened a keyhole. So this must be one of the sleeping worlds. My Keyblade just sort of popped into my hand when I needed it most. And he stares at his empty hand. Right, it started. He bumps into an anime boy whom everything this boy says sounds like he is flirting.
Of course, look at him.
Is okay, why is Tamaki from Oran High School Host Club hanging with Riku?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Wow, where's your quarter?
I have a question real quick. Is this just a weird picture? But does he have an abnormally small torso then goes into giant hips? He looks...
That's the style of the game that these characters are from.
Oh. Did you say that's the style of the gay?
Game?
These characters? Okay.
Like,
okay,
all the characters kind of look like that.
That is a homosexual, if I've ever seen one.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. Very homosexual. So, I'll go ahead and say these characters, Neku, this character, and a few more that we'll meet here in Traverse Town, they aren't Kingdom Hearts original characters, and they aren't from Final Fantasy. They're from another Square Enix project that Tetsuya Nomura worked on called The World Ends With You.
Oh.
And we'll actually end up spoiling the game a little bit by their cameo here. They'll talk about some spoilers later, but whatever. Wow, where's your portal? Riku gasps and looks in the direction of the sudden voice, and he sees a long-haired boy sitting on an arch over the fountain in the corner of the square. It takes something special to jump between grounds without one. Who are you? My name's Joshua. And what do you mean, portal? Are we just skipping past the part where you tell me your name? Riku. Oh. Hello there, Riku. Portals are like gateways that link up our worlds. Apparently, the world you and I are standing in right now, well, there are two copies of it. It's been sort of split in half. Portals are what let folks like us cross between them. There can be two of a world? The world is as many things as people need it to be. The concept that we all live in the same world, that's just in our heads. Surely you knew. I'll tell you what, Riku. I've got a little errand for you. Sorry, I don't trust you. Aw, at least hear me out. I'm looking for a girl named Rhyme. She's the key to the portal. And on the other side, who knows who we'll find? Maybe even your friend, Sora. You know Sora? And Joshua just giggles. Now I have your attention. And he drops down from this elevated platform he's sitting on to be on the same level as Riku. But unfortunately, I don't know where he is. If he's not in this version of the world, I can only assume he has to be in the other one. Simple logic. Okay, you want to find Rhyme? You got it. Let's go. So together they walk into the second district. Riku also starts fighting Dream Eaters along the way. His first one is the Komori Bat. I need you to say that out loud.
Say it out loud, Cronus.
I'm waiting for this Tamaki looking guy to tell Riku that he's the homosexual supporting cast. Rhyme and I are the main characters, and you, my boy, are the homosexual supporting cast.
Joshua, why don't they ever attack you? They being dream eaters? They won't go after you unless you're a dreamer. Which is funny, because I've got plenty of dreams. But they're definitely attacking me. So you think I'm a dreamer? Every human being is a dreamer. I had a friend once who said he never dreamed of anything. But it turned out his were the most powerful dreams of all. You sort of remind me of him. Why don't we give your dreams shape? In this world, they take the form of dream eaters, which can become great allies. So this is when Riku acquires the Komori Bat.
This feels like Stranger Danger, and why is this always?
I mean, I'm just going to say that he implied some shit right there by saying every human's a dreamer, but I'm not a dreamer.
So he's not a human?
Yep.
What is he?
We'll get there.
Queer.
Stranger Danger.
God, what the fuck? Am I not a human?
Depends on what religious group you're part of.
You know what? That's valid.
Then somebody calls out, I got you now, Joshua. And a tough-looking boy in a tank top and skull hat rushes in.
Please send a picture.
I got you now, Joshua.
I'm sending a picture.
Every single Joshua I know is like this. Oh.
Oh my.
He stops in front of them and puts a foot on the railing and points at his chest. Once I take you down, yo, me and Rhyme is going back where we belong.
Is that a Stranger Danger whistle on this obviously very tough young man?
I don't know.
I hope so.
What is
I think it's perspective on the drawing and how he's standing. But he really looks like his right arm has just been lying limp for 9 years, and his left arm has been doing fucking work.
It's true.
I wonder what kind of work.
Probably dumbbells.
They're children. They're children.
I will say, I do want to tell all the children out there that just because you have a giant chain on your belt loops doesn't mean you're tough. Okay?
Doesn't it though?
No, that's just gonna weigh your shorts down. Or, I mean, those aren't even shorts. They're like high water pants. Capris, if you will. This guy's wearing capris, threatening people in the dreamscape.
Oh no.
Beat, how many times do we have to go over this? You've been tricked by that rogue in the black coat. Then Riku. What? Black coats? But that's... I'm telling you, you've made a friend out of our enemy. Just can it, all right? Your infer psychiatry ain't gonna work. Let's go, Dream Eaters! And he summons a Dream Eater, who happily walks over. Beat obviously summons this guy to try and fight Joshua and Riku, but the Dream Eater doesn't want to fight. It just goes over and is like being cute to the bat. What, man? Not cool. Joshua laughs, and the Dream Eater's nightmares appear, and together with Beat, they all fight them off. You know what? Forget it. And he sits on the railing in this area, kind of in defeat. This is stale, yo. Playing the tough guy 24/7? I'd be worn out too.
This is stale, yo.
I just want to protect the one person who matters. I know the feeling. Suddenly, Riku is overcome by a mysterious sleepiness. Why am I suddenly so sleepy?
Oh, no.
His balance falters and he blacks out. And the scene flashes back yet again to Master Yen Sid's chamber.
What year did this take place in?
This came out in 2013, I believe.
All these children would be in Hot Topic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
But the game that they're from, I think it's from 2008, so even more definitely in Hot Topic. So in Master Yen Sid's tower, he explains to them, long ago, in the age of fairy tales, the world was filled with light, a gift, many believed, from an unseen power known as Kingdom Hearts. You see, Kingdom Hearts was protected by its counterpart, the Beyblade, that none could ever lay hands on its mysteries. But in time, the world was overrun by legions who wanted the light all for themselves, and the first shadows were cast upon the land. These warriors crafted Keyblades in the image of the original Beyblade, and waged a great war over Kingdom Hearts. We call this the Keyblade War. But though the war extinguished all light from the world, the darkness could not reach the brightness inside every child's heart. With that light, the world was remade as the world we know today, with countless smaller worlds shining like stars in the sky. So we kind of heard this, a similar story told before. So essentially, all the worlds didn't used to be separate. There used to be one big capital W world. But after the Keyblade War in the Age of Fairy Tales a long time ago, whenever the world came back, it was all separated into the world that we know now. As for the real Beyblade, it did not survive the battle. The two elements that created it, one of darkness and one of light, shattered into 20 pieces, 7 of light and 13 of darkness. And as for the source of all light, the one true Kingdom Hearts, it was swallowed by the darkness, never to be seen again. As long as it remains there, even the brightest world will have its dark corners. After all, light begets darkness, and darkness is drawn to light. For this reason, some decided to use the Keyblade, a weapon designed to conquer the light, to defend the light instead. These were the first heroes of the Keyblade. And with the comment in the chat that the Beyblade is actually a giant shake weight, I think that's where we're gonna call it for the day.
Gonna get so jacked.
Oh man, I can't believe the Beyblade was mostly evil. 13 pieces of evil could not.
Well, we kind of saw that they were originally, it sounds like at least, two equal parts, light and darkness, but those parts shattered. And the darkness one just shattered into more pieces.
Oh, okay. So darkness is brittle.
Yeah. So if you recall, Xehanort's plan in Birth by Sleep was, I make Ventus all light, I make Vanitas all dark, I make them fight, they give me Beyblade. But the Beyblade they formed didn't, it wasn't full, it wasn't solid. It could be that that's because they didn't fully combine, like Ventus was still inside fighting him off, but I think it's more likely that it was that the balance was wrong. It was only, he wasn't completing it the proper way, because now you need 13 darknesses and 7 lights.
It sounds really funny to say you need 13 darknesses.
Oh, don't worry. Wait till we meet the character Darkness.
Ooh, oh, we're gonna need a pseudonym. A good pseudonym, just like Beyblade. For either the name or for when we're talking about the state of dark stuff. Or when we're talking about, like, just regular ass.
We should name the darkness guy Farquaad. I've never met a more evil character.
Oh, that is the truth.
Farquaad.
Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man? The Muffin Man? He lives on Mulberry Lane.
The very same.
Jury. Mulberry Lane?
He moved.
What?
He used to be on Jury.
No.
But he moved. Yeah.
I was so excited when he got eaten by a dragon.
Oh, yeah.
At his wedding. What a way to go.
That's anyway, the way I want to go.
You know, you have to live a life of short evil eaten by a dragon.
I'm too tall for that. Do you guys have any thoughts, comments, or questions on this beginning of a journey? I know it's kind of still very confusing. We don't have all the details because of the way they tell a lot of the background of this game in these flashbacks.
I'm not confused at all. I know exactly what's going on. I know exactly who everybody is. I know their intentions. I know I know what's happening. I know we have the Danimals. There's some brittle darkness out there. There's the gaze. Mm-hmm. At least one.
I think this is going swimmingly.
Riku's story arc is far more interesting than Sora's. That's about on par, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've learned that blue and purple are colors I can't see. Just in general. We'll have to talk about that later in some more personal private time. I've learned that when I think somebody is shady, nobody agrees with me. And they think he's cute when he's shady. And there's an entire game.
The beaver.
Oh.
And I've learned there's an entire game that made children real hippie.
I have two thoughts. One, maybe I'm not the best gauge of shady characters because, you guys have known my life decisions about giving people rides and whatnot. And that's totally fine. They look like that's fine. And two, as far as like being confused and like, as far as like being confused about the game and stuff, I feel like I'm more confused about my own life than I ever have been about these beautiful Lisa Frank Pokemans. I love them. Everything makes sense. I'm glad Lisa Frank's making a comeback in this game. I look forward to seeing what else goes on.
First of all, you didn't need to send a big picture. I knew he was evil. I could feel it in my heart of hearts. My kingdom heart. It's telling me. Second, somebody in the server said that we needed to, like, pick new names that align with the game. I've got mine. Dibs. Thank you.
Oh, Auralion?
Yeah. Yeah. That's my new name through the game.
I can already tell you, Darylise, that the panda is called Akuma Panda.
Akuma Panda.
Aww.
K-O-O-M-A Panda.
Okay.
Oh. What's the seal's name?
Seal. I don't recall its name right now, but I will find it for you.
Thank you. Peace, baby. Oh, My Little Pony's in here.
I don't.
Oh, it's called an R&R seal or a jiggle. There's two kinds. There's an R&R seal and there's a jiggle pup. Let me give you a screenshot so you can choose.
Jiggle puff?
Pup. Like a seal baby is a pup.
Oh, thank you.
So the one on the right is a jiggle pup and the one on the left is an R&R seal.
I like the R&R seal, but Jugglepup is the name. That's it.
Jugglepup.
Our intro and outro song is Dearly Reminded by Anna Ultra. You can find his Bandcamp links in the show notes. You can also find a link to our Discord server in the show notes. We do have one new friend to welcome in here. It's Benny Goo. Welcome.
Hey-o.
But that's all from us this week. Bye.
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 This world.